Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show with Tom Gazzola and Hernan Salas. Text 101260 or call 444-1260 on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
My goodness. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show. The Oilers fall 6-4 to the Ottawa Senators in the team's return to action, back on home ice for the first time in a month. Everything was looking good, but that turned into how to lose a game 101. Wow. Don Wheaton, GM on White, your dealer for Cadillac, Buick, Chevrolet, and GMC. Get those texts coming in, 101260. Tag them with your name, please and thank you. Phone lines open, 444-1260. Gazzola and Awanek tonight as we break down the Oilers' loss to the Sens. Edmonton now 18-15-2. And just want to start the show, Maddie, with a special shout-out to the Latino Heat and his family, Hernan Salas. Everybody's sending you well wishes. Hopefully Papa Salas is okay. And, you know, we'll bring the heat in your honor tonight. And Nanso Awanek's going to step in for you. But, Maddie, my goodness, that was brutal. That was a brutal third period. I watched that going, where's the defensive structure? So many breakdowns. Your goalie can't make a save for you with this guy who you want to be the next guy. And they're cruising. Everything looked good. Second period, you're like, all right, quiet night. Should be good. They're playing all right. And then that third period, it just all implodes. Awanek, what do you say to what we witnessed tonight? Awanek
sorry.
Is flabbergasted.
No,
there
I,
goes.
No, I had my I had my fader down. Yeah, I'm not even – I don't have the board ready because I don't know what to say. Like, I honestly don't know where to go with this team anymore. You know – if this game was played on Monday, I think there would have been a lot of calls for change coming from today, and that Ken Holland would need to go do something. But based on what Ken Holland said this week, just initially, I don't know how the Oilers are going to, like, I don't think we could believe that they're actually going to go do something. Their folding in the third period just is a major concern. We talked about it, you know, in the game, you and I did the postgame show after the Islander game, where they had a great second period. And they didn't show up for that third period. They didn't get was it one shot like late in that game or in that third period or something like that? But the team is struggling and they didn't show up. Tonight, third period, this is your chance to put away a team that's much lower in the standings, and they just didn't show up. They just folded completely to the Ottawa Senators. If you can't beat the Sens with a 2-goal lead going into the third period, who are you going to beat? Are you beating the Panthers? Are you beating the Flames next week? Like,
they'll get killed by the Panthers if they play like that.
Well, and the way the Panthers are playing right now as well, it's you need. I don't even know where to go with this anymore because it just sounds like we're saying the same things after every single game, even though we haven't done a show in a while after a game. But it's still the same stuff, and we're just saying we're gonna keep repeating the same lines over and over and over, but nothing's gonna happen, and we're gonna keep seeing results like this.
Edmonton was 12-0-1 when leading after two. Multi-goal lead. You think it's going to be okay. And no. Let's go through the tail of the tape. That was just, wow. Wow. A new way to lose. Remember when they were finding ways to win in different fashions? They're finding ways to lose. So tonight, Josh Norris opened things up at 10:35. Like Awanek said, you're going to hear the same stuff over and over again like we've been talking about for the last month and a half. Norris scores on the fifth shot of the night for the Sens. That one from Tkachuk at 10:35. By the way, on the power play, PK leaking goals again. Zach Cassian would tie it up on the power play. 9:12 comes from Draisaitl and Puljujärvi. Cassian's fifth of the year, 1-1. In the second period, Kyler Yamamoto gives the Oilers the lead, his eighth of the season from Fogel and Lagesson. Tucks it home at 12:18. Then Brendan Perlini would give the Oilers the 2-goal cushion, his third of the year from Keith and Sevier. You're thinking, okay, things are looking all right. But it all unravels, and it happens very quickly. In the third period, Adam Gaudette gets things going for the Sens, his third of the season from Formanton and Tierney at 241. And then less than 2.5 minutes later, it's Formanton, his seventh from Gaudette and Tierney off a bad giveaway by Stuart Skinner. Good play by, I think it was Tierney to knock the puck down, but it was just a weak backhand by Skinner, who generally plays the puck well. Has to make a big save on Gaudette, and then Formanton's there to bang home the rebound. Don't know who was trying to pick him up. Didn't seem like anybody was. And then Artem Zub would get his third of the year from Brown and Batherson at 10:40, 4-3 Sens at that point. You're going, oh my goodness, what is happening? Then at 12:17, Darnell Nurse picks up his third of the season from Hyman and Puljujärvi, 4-4. You go, okay, maybe it's going to be all right. Then Cody Ceci, high sticks. I think it was it Josh Norris? I think it was. And Norris ends up scoring on the ensuing power play. Again, PK can't get it done. You saw Stuart Skinner overslide to the one side. Norris has 16 from Stutzla and Shabbat. And then just to wrap up the night with a neat little bow, Zach Sanford gets the he dumps it out, and it curls into the Oilers' empty net at 19:02. That one unassisted, and the Oilers walk away with a 6-4 loss. They outshoot the Sens 37-26. They win the faceoff battle 55-45%. The power play goes 1-for-3. The PK goes 1-for-3. Again, a big problem right now. PK is letting this team down, extremely leaky. 34 hits for the Sens to 23 for the Oilers. 17 block shots for Ottawa to 9 for the Oilers. 13 giveaways for the Sens to 11 for Edmonton. As we go to our first call, we go to Fred on line one. Fred, all right, man. 6-4, the Oilers lay an egg in the third period. What do you think?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Have you ever heard of a band called Molly Hatchet, Tom?
No.
No.
Tell me.
Flirting
Tell me,
with
Fred.
Disaster. They're going to be under 500 by the end of next week, I think. And you know what? I want Evander Kane in here. Shipman, I don't care. There's no toughness on this team. Nobody hits. It was a joke tonight. We're tire firing our own end. Well, Skinner didn't have a great game, but no. Oh, my God. This is terrible. All these teams like Los Angeles, San Jose, that were like 10 points behind or ahead of us, we might have a couple games in hand, but when you don't win those games, what good is it? Like, you don't lose Ottawa Senators. Florida's going to kill us. There's no – how can we possibly beat Florida? The hottest team in the league right now, it's not going to happen. What to do? I don't know. Holland, I think, he says he won't fire a coach or hasn't fired a coach in midseason. Well, it's time he does it for the first time.
Fred, we'll see what happens,
the
man.
The message isn't getting through.
Not a lot of life in that one. I thought it was okay in the second period, but that third period, the Sens were just over and dominated them.
Well, the Sens, you know what, after they lost 9 in a row to the Oilers last year, sooner or later, laws of averages, you're going to win sooner or later. And they played actually, they looked decent. They're a good hockey team. And I don't know. It's so frustrating. I don't know if I should laugh or cry, Tom. I don't know.
I'm
frustrated,
one,
I'll tell you. And if we go under 500, that's just an epic fail. Like, what are we right now, 18 and 15?
And 2, yep.
Yeah, well, the odds of it happening, if I was in Vegas right now, I'd probably bet on them going under 500, because the way they're looking, I don't see who they're going to beat. They can't even beat the Ottawa Senators. I don't know, Tom.
I know, Fred. All right, man.
Yeah,
thanks for the call.
It could be interesting for you tonight. That's all I can tell you.
I can see the text line already humming, and we're going to get to those. Fred, thanks for the call, man. Always appreciate it. All right, let's go to KM online, too. KM, man, you were talking to us on the pregame show. You had high hopes for this team. We thought that the Oilers would have a good night. Things were looking all right. They're 12-0-1 when leading after 2. They got a 2-goal lead. And here we are talking about a 6-4 loss to the Ottawa Senators. What rattled you the most about tonight, Cam?
So, get this. I missed the first 2 periods. I got to see the third. So, what happened? I heard they played decent in the first 2 periods. So, like, you know what, you guys? I'm just going to say it. This team, like, where we are right now, where we are with how many years McDavid's been on the team, how many teams Drysdale's been on the team, I've been pretty calm, I'll be honest, but this is absolutely embarrassing. I'm furious with this organization. we can blame everyone. I still think Tippett, like, you have no choice now but to fire him. He hasn't won a game, what, 13 in a row or something like that?
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's getting up there.
I don't know. Like, do they want fans? Like, this organization has to act. Ken Holland has to admit he's done a terrible job building his team around McDavid and Drysdale. Like, you know, I said in the summer this is going to be the biggest off season of probably Oilers history in the last decade. And right now, the way this team is looking, we need a goalie. We need everything, Tommy. Like, this team is just terrible. And like a game like tonight, like, did McDavid get a point? Maybe not. If he's not going, obviously the team can't win, and they got scored on again first. So,
yep.
I don't know. I got no confidence in them making the playoffs at this point. It's embarrassing. And yeah, Oilers fans have every right to be furious right now, because this play that we're getting and loss after loss. Oh, the season's slipping, Tommy. Anyways, I'll let you guys go. Good luck tonight.
Thank you, Cam. Appreciate the call. I mean, the frustration is there, Matty. The frustration from Cam, I think, and from Fred, a lot of people are feeling right now. Like, that, you look at this one, you blew a lead. You look back at the New Jersey game, blew a lead in the third period. You look back at the Islanders game, blew a lead in the third period. Like, this is, it's listless. 22 of the last 26, they've allowed the first goal. They've still only scored the first goal of the game 10 times. Tonight, the fifth shot of the night goes in. All right, we have another call. Brendan on line three, I believe. Brendan, all right, man. KM's pretty fed up. Fred's pretty frustrated. What are your thoughts after tonight?
Well, Tommy, I don't know, man. Like, I'm going to echo everything that's, like, been said tonight. I know people might be sick of hearing this, but, like, it's ridiculous. Like,
it is.
You have leads in all these games, and you blow it. You have the best two players in the league, and you blow all this stuff. Like, Ken Holland, it's starting to reflect on him that you should be embarrassed. Dave Tippett, like, I think the guy is a good coach, but you just need something to shake this roster up. I don't think it's being played to its potential. And Skinner, I do feel bad for him, because all that week that we were off, everyone was kind of saying he's the answer or potentially the answer, and he kind of got hung out to dry. I think it was just defensive collapses. But, Tommy, I just don't know where to go with this team, and it's scary, the fact that Evander Kane might be the savior here. I mean, you look at social media, and the Flames are roasting us or being like, how bad is our season for signing Evander Kane? Like, you had, what, 20 mil to go sign and fill these holes that we had of goaltending and a third-line center and depth defense, and we didn't do any of that, apparently. Like, yep, I agree. The CC signing, I like it right now and that kind of stuff, but it's getting kind of thin. Like, it's hard to be positive.
There's nothing to be positive about. It's a calamity of errors night after night. That's what it's become.
Totally, and I agree. I just think I think Tippett's going to take the fall. I know, KM said that Holland's never made that decision in season, but I think it's going to – you lose to Ottawa. I mean, I get it, they're playing better, but you lose to Ottawa. Come on. You got to make a change here.
Something's got to give. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brendan, man, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And I hear the frustration. Totally, totally understandable. Awanek, people are angry. What are we getting on the text line right now?
Oh, anger. Pretty golden.
I mean,
they
should be mad.
You know, but a lot of people going after, you know, wanting a change behind the bench, you know, with the Dave Tippett. And it's really growing also into calling out for Ken Holland. Why did Tippett and Holland pick Shore over Ennis is something we're getting in. But there's a lot of people just wanting changes with this organization. And that's the thing, though, that I think is going to hurt people is that's not coming. This was the chance to make your coaching change. This last window was the perfect time to bring in a new voice.
And you talked about it.
And to have Ken Holland come out this week and basically preach patience. Now, when it comes to a trade and a first-round pick being moved, that's the route they need to keep taking, because you don't want to make a panic trade right now that's going to hurt this team more. But you know, you need to do something else. And now the one thing they tried to do this week, it doesn't seem like they're going to be able to do, and that's Evander Kane. And we won't go into, you know, everything around Evander Kane. But then there's still, like, okay, Ken Holland said he believes that this group's going to win. He believes in the coach. He believes in the players. Dave Tippett, I think it's a 12 straight losses with him on the bench.
Yep.
Like, how do you continue with this? How do you continue with this as is? I don't know how you do. But a lot of anger, again, against Tippett. Other texts that, hey, guys, I don't blame the goalies, but I blame the goalie coach. The goalie coach for the past three starting goalies has only produced one good season from each goalie in Holland. He'll lose his job. Tippett will lose his job. Brian Nugent-Hopkins will be traded at deadline day. That's not going to happen because he's got a no trade clause. Wow, another brutal loss. They look so tired.
Which they shouldn't, because they haven't played in 10 days.
Yep.
I mean, I was sitting with Jim Matheson, and in the first period and the second, until they started getting those goals to take the lead, I looked at Maddie, and I'm like, man, they're being kept to the perimeter. Then they finally get a couple, right? They create their own breaks. Great. Everything seems fine. And then every issue that we've been talking about this season, especially in the last month and a half, popped up in that third period, Maddie. It was incredible. Just incredible. In the worst way. This one is in all caps. Says, zero emotion, zero heart. What does McDavid do for you when the chips are down? Really, I'd like to know. The rookie says, WTF is happening right now. This one says, time to fire the coach yet? What a bunch of jokers. Dirty Curdy says, we deserve everything we got. Poor deployment by Tippett. Poor goaltending again. Such a sad sack organization. And then Dirty Curdy throws in a couple of hashtags with fire Tippett, fire Holland. Hashtag poor leadership.
Can I say something on Skinner quickly? It's yep. One, like, okay, look, he is a younger goalie. So don't, you know, like, thinking that he's going to come in and immediately there aren't going to be possible nights where he's going to have rough games. Like, it's too bad it's that first game after everyone was calling for him. But, mm-hmm. You know, it seems like people are already throwing Stuart Skinner away. And it's like, come on. It's not like Mikko Koskinen, who's been a pro for 4 years. You know, this is his first almost full season being in the NHL. But one of the goals he misplayed, there was the puck handling that led to a goal. But the coaches were teaching him that this week. The Oilers put the tweet out this week. They were working with him to do that. And it seems like he's being told, or it was being told, to go play the puck. That I'm not going to blame him for a poor decision there, because that was what he was being coached to do. And that just to me goes to the coaches anymore.
He made a nice save after he recovered. But it was like a backhand, Matty. Like, he mm-hmm. backhanded. A goalie backhanding the puck. Not a good idea.
Why are you teaching this a young goalie right now, though, to go play the puck?
He plays the puck well, generally.
But wouldn't you want a younger goalie to come in and just make sure he's good in net first before you start trying to make him Mike Smith?
EA says 12 straight losses for Tippett. Praise all week on 1260 for Skinner because he's tearing up the AHL. Shows he's not ready or not an NHL goalie. Two wins in 1.5 months. Playoffs are gone. Hey, we were talking about Skinner being the guy that probably gave him the best chance to win for two periods that looked like it. And another point, too, is I thought that Bouchard and Lagesson really struggled tonight. Like, really struggled. Coverage-wise, the Gaudette goal, Lagesson was chasing. I'm looking at that going, what's going on? Even the goal we're just talking about with Stuart Skinner giving it away, and he comes back, makes a save. Formanton puts home the rebound. Who was the defenseman that was just standing there? Just standing there. Didn't tie him up. This is a big issue. Big issue. I didn't think Barry had a great night, Matty. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't. That penalty he took, dumb. Why are you knocking the puck out of midair when it's 8 feet in the air and then you knock it over the glass? Just dumb little plays like that, and it all adds up. Here we are. Again, talk about the same things over and over and over and over again. Anyway. Keep those texts coming in. 10-12-60. We're going to get to some audio. Matty Cassian on the way, our game analyst and former NHLer. Phone lines open, 444-1260. The Oilers lose again. 2-10-2 in their last 14. Cough up another lead, this time a multi-goal lead in the third period. Let us know your thoughts. This team needs help in a big way because it can't help itself. This is the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260.
Every shot, save, and shift. We're tackling it all right now. This is the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260.
Five in Edmonton. You're listening to the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show. Don Wheaton GM on White, your dealer for Cadillac, Buick, Chevrolet, and GMC. Tom Gazzola and Matthew Iwanek with you. The Oilers cough up a two-goal lead in the third period, allow five, and lose 6-4. People are angry, rightly so. We're going to keep going to text 10-12-60. If you want to join the conversation, let us know your thoughts. And this is worth noting because we've been waiting for audio. We want to play audio from the team after this disappointing loss, obviously. And McDavid has spoken. We'll get to that, obviously, too. However, there is a large gap between when McDavid spoke to, I think it's Zach Kassian, who's up next at the podium, and then I'm sure we'll hear from Dave Tippett. But, Matthew, that's noteworthy because that's not how it usually works. There's not usually this big delay. So there must be something going on. We might even get Rashog on here to kind of break it down for us as well.
Kassian has basically just gotten behind the microphone. There's about a 15-minute pause between McDavid and Kassian speaking there. That doesn't happen.
No.
The players, they one goes back. It's a couple of minutes. The next one comes out. When the players are done, Tip comes out, and you go. There's usually not this pause. So we'll have to wait to see what Kassian says. And we'll see if there's any note, but that has to be noteworthy. That big of a pause between players coming out, something happened.
Yeah, we'll get the scoop. We'll see if we can get Rashog on, and we do have Matt Kassian coming up as well. Let's get to some text here. This one says, makes no sense how coach has made no real adjustments. Bottom six has first good game in a long time. Players like Perlini have sub 5 minutes of ice time. Why are McDavid and Dry together, let alone playing with Kassian? Tippett and his staff need to change their systems or bring in new staff. No name on that text. Tag those texts with your names, please, and thank you. This one from SJ in the Kootenays says, the Oilers' goalies have made zero saves all year. Stops, sure, sometimes. Not saves. They are hilariously bad, all three of them. That's from SJ in the Kootenays. All of them have been plagued by letting in the early goal. Tonight it happened again. Stuart Skinner, fifth shot, goes in on a Sens power play. Again, the PK leaking goals left, right, and center. These are the same issues night after night after night. Doesn't matter if there's 10 days between games. Doesn't matter if the team's only played 7 games in like a 38-day span. The same problems plague this team constantly. It's incredible. It really is. This one says, this expletive team defense is expletive. Everything you guys talk about, lack of heart, happens every game, and Tippett just keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again. This one from Traden says, classic Tippett coaching moves, overplays McDavid and Draisaitl, even though the other lines were all rolling and chipping in. Both McDavid and Leon close to 25 minutes. Maybe they'd have a little more jump if they weren't overplayed constantly. Same with Nurse. And then this one from Mike in Calgary says, Matty Iwanek is bang on. One of the many problems with this organization is Mike Smith is the goalie coach. He's not. He's Tip's boy and obviously has influence and a big voice. Think about it. All the goalies are playing the puck in moments they shouldn't. Let the D do their expletive job. Mike from Calgary. So Mike from Calgary was clearly joking about Mike Smith being the goalie coach, but he's having an influence. I get your point, Mike. Thank you for the text. And this might be the best text. I want to read it. Maybe a little bit of a reprieve and some humor. So this one says, as a college student, Saturday night, huge Bills game was buzzing on some cold pops. Even had a lady friend come over. And then the Oilers disappointed me once again. Had to send the lady friend home. Tippett has to go. And slowly losing confidence in Holland. Well, buddy, that's a tough Saturday night. Everything was looking good going into that second intermission. And it all was for naught. So
you didn't have to send her home. That's all. Like,
I know.
I'm not an expert with ladies or anything like that, but on the, you didn't have to send her home. You don't let the Oilers ruin your night, you know?
He could have, you know, the smart play there. I know the texter didn't add a name, the college student. You play the sad, wounded puppy card, and she takes care of you. That's the play, but nope, sent her home.
Knight could have got turned around.
Right. Right. My goodness. All right, Awanek.
If you want a positive thought, by the way, like, at least you're not the New England Patriots tonight and their fans, you know? So there's that, at least.
There is that. Okay, should we get to audio?
Well, no.
We're not ready?
Not fully yet. Cassian's still speaking. Once he's done, I could get the McDavid to play it for you.
All right. Let's go through the scoring summary one more time, because this was just another one where I'm just like, wow. They're finding ways to lose. So Norris opens up the scoring on the power play. 10:35 in from Tkachuk. Zach Cassian ties it. Fifth of the season. Nice shot on an Oilers power play from Draisaitl and Puljujärvi. 1-1 after one. You're going, all right, they got over the hump. They gave up the early goal on the fifth shot of the game. You know, 22 of 26 now, but they're in it. Second period, things go well. They're getting offensive zone time. Kept to the outside, but then they start penetrating the middle. Kyler Yamamoto scores on a nice little alley-oop play, his eighth of the season from Fogel and Lagesson, 2-1 Oilers. Then, 5.5 minutes later, 6 minutes later, Brendan Perlini gets his third of the year from Keith and Seaver. You go, okay, things are looking good. You get some goals from your depth players. You get goals from lines 3 and 4. You're doing all right. It's 3-1. You're 12-0-1 after leading following two periods of play. This should be good. Adam Gaudette scores his third of the year from Formanton and Tierney at 2:41. So you're going, all right, 3-2. They should be okay. Gaudette beats William Lagesson to the middle of the ice. Backhands one home on Stuart Skinner. Then Alex Formanton on the giveaway we talked about from Stuart Skinner comes back, makes a big save on Gaudette, and Formanton's there to bang home the rebound. I think it was Lagesson again, just standing there, doesn't pick up Formanton, doesn't tie up a stick. 3-3. Then at 10:40, Artem Zub, wrist shot. Was there a bit of a screen? Yeah, you could say Evan Bouchard got in front of Stuart Skinner a little bit. Zub goes top shelf. That's from Brown and Batherson at 10:40, 4-3 sends, and you go, oh my goodness, here's the deja vu all over again. Darnell Nurse, though, ties it. Third of the season from Hyman and Puljujärvi at 12:17. You think, okay, they should be all right. Cody Ceci takes a high sticking penalty. Josh Norris scores on a power play. Again, the penalty kill letting you down from Stützle and Chabot at 16:18, and then Zach Sanford with the dump out of the zone, and it curls into the Oilers' net. Just sums up the night. 6-4 is your final. We do have Connor McDavid ready to go, Matty. All right, let's hear from Connor McDavid after the 6-4 loss.
I'll just ask you to evaluate what happened tonight, do you think, in this game?
I'm not sure what to tell you. Obviously, it's been a long layoff, and come in and, you know, work ourselves to a 3-1 lead and give it away.
So you guys are playing with a lead, which is where you want to be. What do you think fell out of your game? Was it just a little bit of mental lapses there, or was it something as a group that you think just there was a lull?
I wish I had an answer for you there. You know, we're rolling along. We get a couple chances early. We don't finish them. We give up a 2-on-1, and, you know, and then it's
Connor, I know it's not the playoffs for losses, but when you consider, you know, where you're at, you had a 10-day break, you're 2-9-2, and you're up at home, it's 3-1, and then you lose to a 30th place team. It's one of the most frustrating regular season losses you've had.
It's definitely up there.
What do you feel has to change for your group? What's lacking? Like, this is going on 6 weeks.
Again, I wish I had an answer for you. I mean, we've talked it over and over and over again in that room, and obviously we haven't found an answer yet. That being said, I mean, we got to show up, and you know, we got three practices here before our next one, and get back to work.
Is this a byproduct of what's sort of been happening, that a team that's kind of finds ways to lose, where earlier in the season you were finding ways to win?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely momentum throughout a year. You know, you look at teams that are rolling, they find ways to win games, and teams that are losing, they find ways to lose games. And, you know, tonight we definitely found a way to lose that one.
What happens from here? I know, like, all losses are tough, but this one has to stick worse than a lot of the ones you've had. Where do you guys go from here, you know, even just psychologically?
I mean, I'm not sure what you want us to do. I think we show up, and, you know, we take our day off tomorrow, and we show up on Monday ready to work, and that's all we can do.
There's Connor McDavid after his team's 6-4 loss. A loss for words. Didn't know what to say. Dejected, clearly. Same thing over and over and over. What'd you make of that, Matty?
Well, I get there's a frustration and they're at a loss. They're a fragile group. We know that. It didn't exude confidence listening to him, though. You know, and I guess you're not going to get confidence from these guys, you know, after these losses. But, you know, at the very least, you could tell that this group, they're very fragile. Like, they can't even come out there and almost fake it even.
There's no confidence.
There's nothing.
Shot.
There's nothing for them right now. And like, again, like, I don't expect them to come out and, you know, feel great about themselves or anything like that, or know exactly what the answers are, because this is, you know, 12 losses in 14 games, whatever it works out to be.
Yep.
So, but, you know, to just to be that short answered and not even have an idea of what it could be.
Ontario Momes with this one. When does apathy start to set in here? I was there three games ago, but man, I just don't know if I can watch anymore. Tippett is T-Mac levels lineup wise. It's getting bad. This one says, that game may have sealed the fate of Tippett. 5 goals against in the third when you have a 2-goal lead going in. Really, that's just embarrassing. I know Holland doesn't want to make a change midseason, but that is the type of game that forces a GM's hand. Something needs to change. That one comes in from Matt. This one says, could we get a goalie in Edmonton, please? One that can stop the puck, preferably. It's getting ridiculous. The interesting and new creative ways Edmonton loses games. This one says, this is exactly the result of Ken Holland's Oilers deserve. The Grinch has more heart. That one from JB. This one says, Lagesson was standing there watching on the Skinner giveaway goal. Maybe he could take the man or the stick and not just stand there. He also got beat on the Gaudette goal, too, chasing. And so I thought him and Bouchard had a rough night. I think Barry had a lot of rough moments as well. Started with that penalty he took, just a dumb delay of game, puck over glass penalty. Bad, just bad. This one from Puppy Love says, seriously, the fact that Tippett hasn't elevated this team in 2 years and Holland backs him is a serious problem. The fact that Holland thought his goaltending duo was legit is a bigger concern. He is an NHL GM, not a beer league GM. Tell that guy he can send his girl to my house, the college kid.
Well, and he actually comes back and has updated us on the sad night.
Oh, here we go.
Said the lady friend came back without him asking her. She even brought him some more drinks. Probably wife material right there. Oily doughboy from Manitoba.
Wow. That's a keeper. That's a keeper. Now you play the sympathy card. You're hurt. You're dejected. She's back. You appreciate that. And you turn that frown upside down, Matthew Iwanek. That's how you do it. What a girl. That is absolutely fantastic. She doesn't want to have a bad weekend. She wants to have fun too. I could appreciate that. This text says, culture. They have none. The team didn't stick up for McDavid after he got dumped at the boards in the first period. Holland made this wimpy team as per Burke. Again, I knew they were in big trouble when nobody came to Yamamoto's defense after Anderson headbutted him. You can't just build comrades midseason. It has to be a different culture installed, but it's been 15 or so years. Change team to cheer for people. For goodness sake, don't torture yourselves anymore. That one out of Grand Prairie. It's getting harsh. Getting harsh, Matty.
We do still have Zach Cassian and Dave Tippett, by the way.
All right. Let's hear from Cassian first, and then we'll wrap it up with Dave Tippett and find out what's going on, because there was a big delay between interviews. So here's Zach Cassian.
Just wonder how you guys have compartmentalized this or put everything into perspective, a loss. Like, I mean, they're all tough, but this one was seemed a little tougher than most.
Yeah, you're right on that one. That's something. That's when we let slip away. We're going into the third period with the lead and couldn't wrap it up. We need to wrap it up. We need to win that game. Now we're sitting here and talking about the same shit we talked about before the break. So I don't have much else to say to you guys.
Yeah, no, we're running out of questions. Trust me.
Yeah.
Is this just sort of a byproduct of when a team is kind of slipping down the hill? It's tough to put on the brakes and get it stopped and headed in the right direction. Like, this is a game that you probably earlier in the season close out, and this one.
Hockey's a weird game at times. You're right. You're same group, beginning of the year, one of the best teams in the league, and now we seem like we're finding ways to lose, and we need to find ways to win. And that snowball going downhill, I don't think that's an excuse anymore. We had that off break, that all those postponements, I think, was a perfect time for us to regroup. We did that. We had a good week of practice. Everyone was having fun. We were upbeat. We head into the game feeling good about ourselves. We get out of the first period with a draw, have a good second period, and then we lay an egg in the third. So if I had any other answers for you, I'd tell you, but that's all I got.
There's Zach Cassian, short and sweet. Obviously, you know, the same thing over and over again. You heard Rob Tichkowski say, hey, we're running out of questions for you guys. You can only get so creative with all of this because it's the same thing over, over, and over, and over again. All right, let's go back into the room and hear from Dave Tippett. We do have Ryan Rashad coming up as well.
Dave, I'll just put it to you to, you know, maybe what did you see when that game turned the wrong way for you guys? What happened to your game?
Just finding ways to lose. You know, we did a lot of good things in the game. But there's some areas. We took a penalty earlier in the game, gave up a goal. Took a penalty late in the game, gave up a goal. There's some things in between. Lots of things that we've been talking about trying to do, we did. But ultimately, we're finding ways to lose games.
This has been going this way for a pretty long stretch of time, and this break here between games just stretched it out even further. I mean, how difficult is it to stay in this headspace that you've been in where things haven't been going well? And I mean,
we thought the break would help us with that, and it did, I guess, for two periods or something. Even the third period, we come out, we get a great chance early in the third period. We have another great chance just before they scored. I mean, there's just, if we find a way to capitalize on maybe one or more of those, we push the game along, but that's the way it's going for us right now.
The mistakes that you're getting, different parts of your lineup, are these, you know, do you characterize some of them tonight as long break and sloppy, or are these recurring mistakes?
No, there's chances that happen in the game both ways. You know, you can't say they were clear-cut mistakes that we made. Just ended up in the back of our net.
In the first 40 minutes, Dave, you've given up 13 shots and hardly any really good chances. And then it really just kind of snowballed, as you mentioned, after you gave up the chances. As a coach, I don't know if you've seen that before. How can you stop that? Was a timeout something you considered? What went in that, like, eight-minute stretch?
Well, when you got they got the 3-2 goal, you know, we line up, we go back, we put together a couple good shifts there again, and then it's dumped on our ice, and ends up in the back of our net. But even after that, where there was a TV timeout, our guys were talking about the right things. Game's still 3-3. Let's go find a way to win. And ultimately, we didn't.
Is your team just fragile right now? Can you tell that?
When you're not winning consistently, there's frustration. There's you can be fragile. You got to work your way out of it.
Dave, I know Stuart Skinner's young. Did you need a save in the third period from him?
Yeah, well, we got to work on our goals against. It's not just the goaltender, it's everybody.
Thank you.
Time now for the Ming, shining star of the game.
Well, all right. I mean, that third period kind of ruined it for everybody, obviously, when it comes to the Oilers and the fans tonight. Disappointing loss, blowing a 2-goal lead in the third. Ming, shining star of the game. He had a nice goal. He had a couple of shots, three hits, one giveaway, 19:02 time on ice. So looked like the Zach Cassian of old. So Zach Cassian is your Ming Shining Star of the game. And that is brought to you by Ming Shine, of course. Keep your vehicle looking and feeling brand new with the new Vehicle Protection Package. Book now at MingShine.com. Awanek, do we have Ryan Rashog? I'm going to assume that's a nope. We'll go back into the inbox and we'll wait on Shogger, who will be joining us shortly. This one says Dunner. It's from Dunner and Van. Says, I liken the Oilers situation to a house on fire, not fully engulfed, but on the verge of. Holland is the fire chief with the fire hose in hand, but refusing to douse the flames, thinking the homeowners can handle it themselves. No trades, no coaching change. Answer in the room. The fire chief is willing to throw this bucket of fluid on the flames labeled with the initials EK, but he isn't sure if there is water or gasoline in the bucket. That's from Dunner in Van. All right, we're going to take a short timeout, and then we'll get to Ryan Rashog and Matt Cassian coming up as well. More of your text, 10-12-60, if you want to chime in. The Oilers lose 6-4, a new low point this season to the Ottawa Senators as the struggles continue. That's six losses in a row. Edmonton hasn't won since December 19th. This is the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show on TSN 1260.
Breaking down tonight's action, this is the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show on Edmonton's sports leader, TSN 1260.
In Edmonton, it is the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show. The Oilers fall 6-4 to the Ottawa Senators, blow a two-goal lead in the third period. The Oilers this year, when leading after two, were 12-0-1. That's not the case. Five goals allowed in that third period. By the way, Don Wheaton GM on White, your dealer for Cadillac, Buick, Chevrolet, and GMC. Tom Gazzola, Matthew Wanick, and Ryan Rashog with you right now. Maddie and Shogger, I'm going to just read this text. It kind of sums up how people are feeling. Expletive this team, expletive this organization, and most of all, expletive Holland and Tippett. The solution isn't in the room. There is no solution for this tire fire. The Senators have more heart than this Oilers team. Garbage. I left a better mess somewhere else this morning. Expletive. Well, that was poetic, Ryan Rashog. And I think it's fair to say we're at a new low with this team. Is that fair to say?
You picked a real doozy there to nice runway for me there, Tom.
I knew you'd like it. I knew you'd like it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't blame Oilers fan for being supremely frustrated. I don't blame them for booing the team off the ice tonight. I don't blame people for wanting massive changes. Like, it's been a frustrating run this year for fans, right? Team goes from near the top of the heap to can't win a game to save their lives. So I understand the frustration. You know, is it a new low? I mean, yeah, like it's, what is it, six in a row now? And
yep.
12 of 14 or something like that, or 11 of 13, whatever the heck it is now.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been brutal. It's been a brutal run. And this team, there's no confidence. There's no consistent game to lean on. It's a mess right now. And, you know, Connor McDavid just sat there looking shell-shocked after. Like, I don't know. He doesn't really have answers. He's, you know, he just looks shell-shocked. You know, Dave Tippett did too tonight, to be honest with you. So I'm not really sure what to say, guys. What I know is that, you know, whether this team wants to play for Dave Tippett or not, whether they like him or love him or hate him as a head coach, they're going to get him fired here if things don't get turned around.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's not on Dave, but if this group doesn't get this figured out and stop doing things like what happened tonight, it's inevitable they're going to get their coach fired.
Yeah, absolutely, Shager. And now, listen, you were there. We heard, you know, you were asking questions in the media room and all that. Like, we heard all that. We could sense the dejection and the bewilderment from McDavid. And you know, you mentioned Tippett, too. But it seemed like the timeline for postgame was a little bit disjointed. Do you think that there was a discussion that happened in the room? Kind of give us the take of the run there.
I don't know. Like, McDavid came out right away. So I think if a post-game meeting is going to happen, I think it probably happens right away. But McDavid came quickly. His media availability was short. And there was, a, I don't know, 7-8 minute delay. Then Cassian came. Cassian said he was just working out. And, you know, Cassian even said this was frustrating. There's not a lot of talking going on right now because of how frustrating it is. So I don't know. I don't know if there was a big meeting or not. I don't know. I think probably over 4 or 5 days here, they've probably talked themselves to death. Like, there's a lack of confidence in, like, this kind of sickness that's happening with this group right now, where they don't have a consistent game. They don't have a consistent intensity level. They don't have a consistent identity to lean on, right? They're not physical.
No. Nope.
You know, like, they come out in a game you're desperate to win, and in a game you're desperate to start strong, you've got guys coming out and, like, just absolutely swinging away from body. Like, Ryan McLeod's first shift, he stepped off the bench, skated 15 strides, lots of speed, and absolutely just pretended like being physical wasn't even something that's allowed in the game. Swung on a forecheck. And then regrouped, went in, and swung again. Like, there's just, you know, and we've asked Dave Tippett about that. And it's like the expectation isn't there or something. There's an intensity level that's missing from each player that you need to be able to rely on when things are in the tank. Okay, it's not going in. Okay, goalie let another bad one in. What do you lean on? And this group doesn't have anything to lean on because it's just, I don't know. It's just not there. It's not in part of their identity. There's no physicality. This team is so easy to play against. It's stunning for teams. It's not a hard night in any way when you play the Edmonton Oilers. It's, you know, if you can do a good job of, you know, trying to stay close to the big guys and shut things down. I mean, they might get a couple on you on the power play or whatever, but it's a free night on the bingo card physically for every team that faces the Edmonton Oilers. And you just don't win that way. You just don't. So, and I don't know, as a group, you got to fix that. It's like Tyler Benson's the only one that's figured that out in the last couple of weeks and, you know, has just decided I'm going to just play hard, skate fast, and hit because I got to do something. And there's a bunch of guys that just don't think about it that way, I guess. I'm not saying hitting is the answer to, like, to everything, but when nothing else is going right, what can you do? And there's an intensity level lacking in this team that is just, they're so easy to play against. It's staggering.
Shager, they're easy to play against. They talk about playing quick, smart hockey. That doesn't happen. They're slow. They take their time. And they're just a mess in their own zones a lot of the time. Listen, fans want answers. They have opinions, obviously. They want solutions to this thing. Like, can you see anything that would be a simple solution or a way to start getting this thing back on track? Because I'm not going to lie, Shager, like, watching and covering this team this season, I'm sitting there scratching my head. I'm like, I don't even know how to fix any of this. I thought I've seen everything covering this team for the last dozen years, but Ryan, I don't even know anymore. Like, do you have some sense of something that could be done here?
Well, I mean, not really, because I don't think there's going to be any easy answers on the trade front. I don't think anybody's sending him a goalie anytime soon. Koskinen's deal is what it is. He's been an immovable object for a long time here. Honestly, that's why they're considering a move like bringing in Evander Kane, because they know what their situation is. There's not a lot of help just sitting there. And so the injection of a top six forward basically for, you know, minimum money and a player that can move the dial and be impactful, I mean, that's why it's ultra tantalizing for this team. Ultra. but there's so much more that comes with that. But when you're desperate, you're willing to just, kind of grit your teeth and hope it goes okay, because they are getting to this point of desperation. I mean, this is going on like 6 weeks of them playing not very good hockey most nights. And, I mean, it's pretty befuddling. Like, they had more quality in their game earlier this year. I know they were like power play dynamos and everything, but they played a better brand of hockey earlier this year, and it's just brutal right now. So, the other thing too is, I mean, one game in like 10 days or something like that, if they weren't mired in this brutal stretch they've been in, you could probably say, yeah, you know what, they were rusty. Like, they couldn't make a pass in that first period. It was brutal.
Yeah.
So you can kind of go, yeah, they've been off. So, yeah, not ideal. You know, knocking some rust off, tried to get themselves back in it, needed a save, you know, whatever, not the end of the world. They'd only played one game. Well, they don't have that space to make that excuse. They don't have that space to be let off the hook or to let themselves off the hook as a result of that. It's just been, we've seen too much of things going wrong. They don't get that excuse tonight, and, you know, they'll deserve it. And
no.
So it's just a team that's had lots of stuff going wrong. And, I mean, it was everybody tonight, man. Like, I don't know how many times Draisaitl turned the puck over at the offensive blue line, but it had to be between 3 and 6. You know, he had the body language going again tonight. You know, the big, long, slow changes and the frustrated head drops and all of those things that creep into his game when he's frustrated. I mean, it's – and I'm not picking on him, but you can really see it when he gets that way. And that's not helping anything. The group's just got to figure this out, man. They got to dig in and figure this out. Because I don't think there's a cavalry coming. And listen, if Dave Tippett, if they made a change at the coaching position tonight, tomorrow, no one would be surprised. No one would think, gee, that's really unfair. No one would.
Right.
I'm not sure Ken Holland's doing that. And this group has got to, they got to bear down and figure this out, man. It's because it's been bad for a while.
Shogger, the wheels have fallen off, man. That's simply put, the wheels have fallen off. I think we're at that point.
Yeah. No, yeah. They have. Like, it's nothing's going right, you know. And so they give up the first goal again. I mean, okay, whatever. Good on them. They took over that game. Like, they did. They were good through the middle part of that game. They lots of chances. They didn't give up a ton. You know, they built themselves up to a 3-1 lead. And then mistakes happen and they just buckle, like they just crater. So as a group, what do you do in that moment? Who do you look to? Who do you lean on? How do you stop it? Do you need to call a timeout? Do you sense it on your bench? Do you, you know, what do you do in that moment as an individual? What can you take care of in that moment from the coaches to the players? And I guess it would just seem like when things go bad for this team, they're kind of short on answers. They're kind of short on people stepping up and saying, here's what we do. Now, they did get the goal, you know, to tie it up and to get themselves back in it. Small victory there, right? They counterpunched. That was good. And then, you know, boom, it's in the net. Didn't get a save when they needed one. So, and the frustration is just palpable with the group, too. Like, between McDavid and Cassian tonight, you can see they're absolutely spent. And now they have another however many days before they get to play another game, so they can just sit on this and talk about it again for another 3 or 4 days.
Monday's going to be interesting, Shogger. Thursday against Florida, good luck. But I'll see you at the rink on Monday, pal. Enjoy your Sunday. Thanks for giving us the scoop from the rink. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet, buddy.
That's TSN's Ryan Rashog, and that leads us right into our game analyst, former NHLer Matty Cassian. Cass, all right, Rashog gives us the scoop from the rink. Weird kind of delay when it came to the post-game process. Maybe there was a discussion being had there. Like, after a game like that, Cass, where you blow a 2-goal lead in the third period, everything just goes completely horribly wrong. You give up 5. What's even being said in this room after everything that's been going on with this team, Cass, over the last 6 weeks?
Well, I don't think that there's a meeting. Usually if there's a meeting, it's going to happen before the press availability. So I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily what happened. It could have been pretty much as Zach Cassian said, where he was just working out and he didn't know he was supposed to go, and it took him a while
down there. But as for what's being said, I mean, what are they going to say at this point? They would have talked a lot. There would have been a lot of conversations, a lot of meetings, a lot of discussions over the course of the break. So I don't know. I mean, it's almost like you just say what the schedule is for tomorrow, and you got to find a way to move on. No use in just sitting there and being frustrated with one another and yelling at one another. Like, what? Just like we're going to have difficulty in being like, what questions do we even ask at this point? They're going to be like, well, what meetings do we have at this point? What conversations do we have at this point? It's up to the guys in that dressing room to find a way to win. And going into the third, it looked like they're going to do it. It's been their bread and butter, winning when they're leading heading into the third. And they fell apart, and they dropped it, and they lost it. They made some bad defensive plays. You certainly can't pin five goals against all on Stuart Skinner in a period. Like, it was ugly. It was ugly. It was an ugly third, and there's not too much to say, Tom.
Cass, man, like, people want solutions, obviously. The one thing that keeps popping up is, you know, Dave Tippett. Might be time to make a change behind the bench. I know people have been clamoring for it for a while now. It's a dozen games since he's gotten a win. And the way this team's playing, like, is that just an inevitability? Because we heard Rashog say, like, the way they're playing, what else can you do? Like, you might force the GM's hand to get rid of the coach because of how this is happening.
Well, we're getting closer and closer to that point.
Right.
I mean, especially if, you know, maybe they're banking on that Evander Kane won't be suspended, or you'll be able to sign him, and whatever the league turns up in their investigation, you know, or maybe it's enough for San Jose to cancel his contract and not enough to suspend him. Like, who knows exactly where that comes out? But I mean, if you're Ken Holland, like, it really seems like your only two choices at this point, isn't it? Like, there's no easy trades that are going to solve anything. That are going to fix anything. So I don't know. Like, that's really it. That's all you got if you're Ken Holland. So, you know, you're fast approaching the point where he's going to have no other choice, and the players are going to be the ones that are forcing his hand.
Matt Cassian joining us now, our game analyst, former NHLer. The Oilers fall 6-4 to the Ottawa Senators. Like Cass said, blow a two-goal lead in the third period. Watch the Sens score five and walk away from here with a 6-4 victory. Cass, I'm going to read out a couple of texts and just get your thoughts on these. This one says, hey, TG, Cass, and Iwanek, tough one. Wondering your thoughts on what the missing piece is to the squad, or multiple pieces, coach, goalie, top six winger. And then the texter throws in that Gelly has some lined up for us so we can forget about tonight. Bottoms up. Cheers, boys. Cass, like, what do you say to that one? Because people, they're truly searching. But it, like you said, there's no magic bullet for this team right now.
No, there's not. What do I think they need? I think they need someone who's going to step up from a play standpoint and refuse to be denied. And what I mean by that is someone that takes control of a game with their emotion and their intensity. And, you know, it was a way better game for Zach Cassian tonight than we've seen in a long time from him. Mm-hmm. But even then, it wasn't enough. Right. Like, where's their game-changing moment? That's what they need. They need a galvanizing, game-changing moment. I mean, my brain obviously goes to the caveman place where I'm like, you need someone to take a run at somebody. hit someone from behind, take a five-minute major, and start a line brawl. Like, get a whole bunch of guys kicked out of the game, do something crazy. Like, because you need something crazy at this point, don't you?
Yeah.
To try to turn this thing around?
Honestly, I would welcome it if, yeah, I like that. The caveman part of me comes out too, where I'm like, yeah, get crazy, get mad, do something.
Well, and that's just it, is like, someone get crazy, get mad, and do something, and you know, maybe you end up losing the game because whatever, you took a penalty or too many penalties, but you need to do something here to galvanize this team and to pull everyone together and to pull out that emotion and that intensity that, you know, tonight, like, the energy was there, the work ethic was there for the most part, but it's like they're missing that, like, they're just missing that extra little bit. It's just not there.
It really isn't. It's been since day one this season. I'm going to read a couple more, Cass. This one says, guys, like Cass says, it's easy. Toughness fixes everything, gives you culture, gives you a true team. Watch Calgary, that's a team. But Oilers are a bunch of wimps, man. That's numero uno. And then this text comes in and says, three things I never thought I would say in the middle of the Oilers season. One, trade for a goalie now, get Fleury for the rest of the year. Two, would this team be better with Holloway and Archibald all year? And three, who thought Chris Russell being out would be a huge loss? And that's a text that comes in. No name on it, but Cass, I thought Bouchard and Lagesson struggled. I thought there were times tonight where Barry was out of sorts, but then he would have a couple of decent shifts, but then he'd have another bad shift. Like, it was a mess.
Yeah, it was a rough night for Barry. It's kind of started with that deflection out of bounds. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What purpose does that serve? Like, what kind of a hockey play do you think that's going to make? I just don't.
No benefit. No
benefit. Doesn't make any sense. And their penalty kill has been struggling, so it's just it doubles the pain, as it were, of just the necessity. There we go.
Necessity. Yeah, you got it.
Unnecessity of the play. And I mean, and that's kind of top to bottom, like where there's, it's not just him. There's a lot of guys where it's just, it's big mistakes in key moments, and it's just making them lose hockey games. And again, to go to the text a little bit, Tom, I don't think it's toughness as in, again, like, I don't think everybody needs to go fight everybody all the time. I just think it's a mental toughness, and it's a team toughness, in that, you're a pack of wolves out there. Mm-hmm. But what they don't have right now is they don't have an alpha that's willing to step up and that's willing to do whatever it takes and that's willing to pull people along, to pick people up emotionally, to raise that intensity, to raise that refusal to lose, to raise that being difficult to play against, being hard to play against, being, just a team that is so aggressive offensively and so aggressive defensively, like with pressure and with attacking and with moving the puck up ice, to where you just force teams on their heels and they don't know how to contain you. And right now it's just not there. So they're lacking someone to take the reins on that. And I mean, I don't expect Connor McDavid to be the most emotional guy. We know he's not. He's not, and he could change a game certainly with his playmaking ability and his skill, and Draisaitl too, the same. But what they need is they need someone to do what Connor McDavid do with their skill and talent, with their energy and intensity. And that's the problem, in my opinion. And the issue is, trading for Fleury isn't most likely going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, trading for some other big piece most likely isn't going to happen. So it has to be someone inside of that room. Or, as Ken Holland is probably banking on at this point, it's Evander Kane, which we don't, it's such a big uncertainty. I hate talking about it because we don't know if it's going to happen.
A couple more here, Cass, that are coming in late. Keep those texts coming in. Tag them with your names, please, and thank you. This one says, this team is lacking a heart except Nurse. There is no emotion, zero. They managed to turn 97 and 29 into average players. That one comes from VV. And then this one says, hey guys, does this question the leadership group when none of them have the capability to play greasier or give this team some jump? Nurse thinks he's aura and Draisaitl pouts too much. That one comes in from D. What would you say to that?
Well, I would say, if there's someone in that leadership group that needs to find a way to do it, it probably, or it has the personality to do that, it would be Darnell Nurse. So maybe he could be an answer if he finds a way to do that. And the tough thing is with the way your defense has been playing as a whole, pretty tough to say, you want him out for 5 minutes or you want to risk the injury or anything like that. But at this point, you're kind of like, well, you're going to have to do something. And from a leadership standpoint, it, in my opinion, in that group in particular, it's probably him.
Cass, what happens on Thursday when this team faces the Florida Panthers, who pumped Columbus 9-2 tonight?
know. This is gonna be gonna be a tough one. It's gonna be a tough one. I mean, you're gonna see a team that plays aggressive, fast-paced hockey, and is really gonna challenge the Oilers in the defensive zone, which is where they struggle. You know, they struggled to pick up sticks today. They struggled to help out in front of the net, and struggled again on their sort outs on rushes against. So, yeah, I want to say I think they're going to respond with a great game, and they're going to find a way to win. It's pretty tough to feel that, though, right now.
Absolutely, Cass. I couldn't agree more with you, buddy. We'll see how things go. They're back on the ice on Monday for practice, and then they get the Florida Panthers. We'll be back on the air for the pregame show. Cass, let's see what happens, I guess. But great stuff as always, my friend. Enjoy your Sunday, and be well. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Sounds good, Tom. You too.
That is our game analyst, former NHLer Matt Cassian. The Oilers fall 6-4. It's Awanek, the text line. You know what tonight reminds me of? When things were going way off the rails in the 18-19 season. That's what it's starting to feel like okay. With these texts. And people are pissed, man. Pissed.
And they have the right to be. And it's frustrating because like they get off to this hot start to the season. That's supposed to carry you over the rest of the way. They literally had to play about 500 hockey after that 9-1 start to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
And instead, they've just chosen not to win hockey games.
They're their own worst enemy. I've said it since day one this season. And now it's completely caught up to them. To the point where here we are.
Well, and it's,
and the players don't even know what to say.
And like the Panthers aren't going to help a fragile group. Unless they win. No. Like if they go out and beat the Panthers, maybe that's the turnaround you get. But
maybe.
But that's going to be a difficult game. And you look at the rest, like, it doesn't seem like if you can't beat the Senators tonight, where you had a lead going in the third period, it's hard saying, okay, where are you going to pick up your wins? Where are you going to pick up, where else are you going to find this physicality? Where are you going to find this toughness? Where are you going to find any of that within the group? Ken Holland said the answer's within the locker room. Well, the locker room came out today, went to the podium and said, yeah, we'd have no idea.
You summed it up perfectly, buddy. I mean, I look at tonight's loss. I look at the back-to-back afternoon losses on Long Island and in New Jersey, and I go, there is a major problem when you blow leads in third periods against teams like that. Major.
When you
huge,
are in a position where you need the win, too. Like, right?
Yeah.
Like, not just like, hey, you're doing well, okay, you had a bad game. Like, you're desperate for wins with everything you just said.
Yeah. Well, Awanek, we're going to leave the last word to Video Store Kev, who says, I only wish this team had the work ethic of the late 90s underdog, under budget, under talented Oilers. It is truly depressing to have the two best players in the league and yet miss the days of Waite, Smith, Greer, Billy Guerin, Todd Marchand fighting for every inch they could get. Signed, Video Store Kev. Video Store Kev, well said, buddy. And with that, we bid you a good night and adieu. And until Thursday, we'll see what happens. But this was an ugly loss, Oil Country. 6-4, the Oilers fall to the Sens, blowing a 2-goal lead in the third. Huge thank you to everyone who called in, texted in, and joined the conversation tonight. Have a pleasant Sunday. Put this one behind you. And we'll talk to you on Thursday. For Matthew Awanek and Matty Cassian and Ryan Rashog, I'm Tom Gazzola saying good night. Ciao for now.